This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأصلي وأسلم صلاة وتسليما يليقان بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين. وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين. أما بعد، جماعة المسلمين، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا. فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا. ثم رددنا لكم الكرة عليهم وأمددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا. إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها. فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة ليسوءوا وجوهكم وليدخلوا المسجد كما دخلوه أول مرة وليتبروا ما علوا تتبيرا. عسى ربكم أن يرحمكم وإن عدتم عدنا وجعلنا جهنم للكافرين حصيرا. صدق الله العظيم. جماعة المسلمين، we have come full circle since we first spoke about these ayat a few months ago. And now after 3 months of genocide, and we acknowledge the brave stance of the South African government taking the Zionist entity to the International Court of Justice. It's not the ICC, it's the ICJ. The ICC has done nothing. The ICC was very quick to act when seeking for an arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, for his, in inverted commas, invasion of Ukraine. But when it came to the barbaric and savage massacres that have been meted upon the people of Gaza, the ICC has been silent. In fact, the person who's in charge of it is a Muslim, Karim Khan, Mahayit Khakhan, Itiva Zaini. Anyway, I believe it's on the 11th and the 12th. They will appear in the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, with the document that has been produced by the South African government, an 84-page document. And with genocide, you have to be able to prove intent and action. And I don't know whether you can say it's unfortunate for the Zionists in this 21st century. I don't think they care. I don't think they care. Because they might even get away with it now. They might even get away with it. For now. For now. And they've reached that level of arrogance. And they've enjoyed this impunity. These war crimes that they have been committing for the last 75 years, these crimes against humanity, the ethnic cleansing, that they have been, they've committed it with impunity. They haven't obeyed one resolution from the General Assembly of the United Nothing, or the Useless Nations, whatever you want to call them, nor from the Security Council. Not one resolution since 1948. Under the cover of their Western backers, their Western supporters, namely America and the United Kingdom. And I would recommend you watch a documentary which was produced not too long ago by Al Jazeera called The Lobby. It's called The Lobby. And it starts off, I only got as far as the first episode, but it starts off with the Zionist lobby in the United Kingdom. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. How both the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, especially after the ousting of Jeremy Corbyn, how both of these parties are captured by the Zionists. And of course, the Democrats and the Republicans a long time ago. Long time ago. And of course, it extends right into the European Union, most of the countries in Europe, the G7. In fact, I was listening to a diplomat from Oman. He was actually shocked that the Japanese, which is part of the G7, were actually in support of the Zionist state. He was shocked. Until the Japanese came out in their thousands in the streets of Japan, and there seems to be a shift now in the stance of the Japanese government because of a shift in public opinion. And when he questioned some of the Japanese politicians, he said, oh no, we just went with some of the Gulf states. We only went with some of the Gulf states. I was actually watching today, a year ago, the Emirates and Bahrain, the Emirates, which now has, since 1971, when the Emirates was established, alcohol has been prohibited, or the manufacture of alcohol. They just opened their first breweries in the Emirates. And the biggest Hindu temple in Western Asia. The biggest Hindu temple in Western Asia has just been opened in Emirates. The Emirates and Bahrain, 1 year ago, allowed the Zionist state to set up an early warning detection radar to detect missiles coming from Iran. The Emirates and Bahrain opened their doors for the Zionist state to establish this early warning system. But as we have spoken many times from this platform over the last 90 days, the masks have come off. Allah is exposing who the true believers are. وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ وَلِيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلِيَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. In order that Allah might make known who are the true believers, and in order that Allah might make known who are the hypocrites. Ya Allah, make us of the true believers and not of the hypocrites. And something that they are now, which has now stepped up a gear, for the lack of a better term. Have you heard of the voluntary immigration system? The Itima bin Ghavir, the Arabs, or the our brothers and sisters in Palestine, they call him bin Hamir, the son of a donkey, bin Hamir. But his name is actually Itima bin Ghavir. He is one of the Kahanists. The Kahanists are this ultra-nationalist, extreme, right-wing faction of the Netanyahu government. Netanyahu, the war criminal. When Likud and the Kahanists and a few other smaller parties went into a coalition to establish this 37th Zionist government since its inception in 1948, and he was openly saying that the people of Gaza must be encouraged, in inverted commas, to voluntarily immigrate. And where are they going to send them to? They're already in secret talks with who? With the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And as I've mentioned many times before, this is all part of the old plan from the time of Ben-Gurion. What did he say? The Arabs must go. We just need the pretext to make them go. What did he say? Like a war. This thing of destroying Gaza, of leveling Gaza, of exterminating Gaza, of emptying Gaza. And this is what this document, which is so, in fact, there's a commentator in English, his name is Owen Jones. Owen Jones, yes. Very good. Listen to him. He actually speaks about this 84-page document from the South African government accusing the Zionist entity of genocide. He goes through it. He says, even somebody like himself, who's a journalist who's been following this thing closely, if you read this document, he says, it's shocking. Shocking. Because genocide, intent and action, when you look at the discourse amongst Israeli politicians as well as within the Israeli society, it is shocking. In actual fact, they did a poll. More than 60% of the citizens of the Zionist State of Israel actually feel that the IOF, we don't say IDF, we say IOF, the Israeli occupation forces, that they should actually step up their assault on Gaza. They believe it's been too meek and mild. And the statements of genocide from the president, from the minister of defense, from the minister of culture, who said the only solution is to drop an atom bomb on Gaza. So the intent is there. And of course, I mentioned earlier, unfortunate for the Zionists, part that it's the 21st century. Everything is recorded. Everything. Live, we're getting it. Live. It's all recorded. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we've come full circle. In the sense that I just want us to again go back to the Quran. Because we're just waiting. And waiting doesn't mean sitting on our backsides. Abadan, never. But because of what they have done and what they have been doing, there is an unstoppable, inevitable consequence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in these four verses from Surah Al-Isra. We've spoken about these verses before, but I just want to highlight them again because as a believer, may Allah make us of the true believers, believing that the Quran, haqqum min Rabbina, that it's the truth from our almighty creator and sustainer Jalla fi Ula, and that it heals the pain in our hearts and it removes the worry and anxiety and despondency and despair. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. And we reveal of this Quran that which is a healing. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ. It's a healing and a mercy for the believers. Wallah, it's this Quran. I really feel like somebody for the last 90 days, like somebody that's been drowning. And this is the only thing when I hold on to it that I feel some relief and that I feel that inshallah everything's going to be okay is this Quran. And of course, the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, khayr al-anam salawatu rabbi salamu alayhi, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a walking Quran. His life is the physical implementation of the Holy Quran. So let us go back to these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts from verse number 4. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. We're going to go through these first three as quickly as possible because we've covered them already. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, that we have conveyed to the children of Israel in the scripture. Now what the scripture here means, according to Ibn Ashur in his tafsir, he says this is a generic noun, which is actually referring to the scriptures. meaning the revelations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the prophets of Bani Israel. Because it's not just confined to the Torah given to Musa. It is speaking about the revelations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the prophets of Bani Israel pertaining to these three warnings. Well, at least the first two, which are mentioned in the Bible and which have already taken place. And the third one, which is in the Quran and bi-ithni Allah ta'ala, is about to take place. It's about to take place. بإذن الله تعالى الواحد القهار الملك الجبار. And so we convey to the children of Israel in the scripture, لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين. You will cause corruption twice. مرتين. Now مرّة doesn't necessitate, lots of teachers here. It doesn't necessitate or necessarily mean a single event. In fact, Ibn Ashur, again, I go to him, he says, مَجْمُوعَةُ مِنَ الْحَوَادِثِ. It is a group of events, a series of events. Because after Nabi Musa alayhi salam had passed away in the desert, and Yusha bin Nun and Caleb ibn Yufanna took the second generation, because there were the only two that were allowed in from the first generation. They took the second generation into the Holy Land. And Yusha bin Nun, Joshua, he allotted for each tribe of the 12 tribes their allotment of land. No sooner had he passed away that they started with their corruption. And this was Ahdul Qudat. This was the period of the judges. Not like a judge in a court, a judge meaning a leader, a tribal leader. And there was 12, starting with Othniel, ending with Samson. That was the period of the judges, Ahdul Qudat. And it was a vicious cycle, because Bani Israel, what they would do is, remember when they entered the land, they defeated 33 kings. Or 31 kings and 33 cities. They took in a very short space of time. In the life of Yusha bin Nun. And just like Nabi Musa had warned that if you take any gods to worship besides the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't follow all his laws and statutes, you defile the land, then the land will vomit you out just like it vomited out those who came before you. Yusha bin Nun, Joshua, when he had settled them in the land, he gave them the same warning again. If you take any other gods, if you don't follow all the commands and statutes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will destroy you from this land. He will remove you from this land. You will not possess this land for long. And these warnings are repeated time and time and time again. And then after the 12th of the tribal leaders, Samson, after he died, then Samuel, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as a prophet of Bani Israel in the Quran, he then appoints Talut, Saul. Because they asked for a king. They wanted a king just like the others in the land had kings before them. The Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites. And they defeated most of them. They didn't conquer all of them. That was what they were supposed to do. Maybe they got tired, who knows. And then after Talut passes away, he's killed, and actually he's killed along with his two sons in a battle. Then Nabi Dawood is appointed as the king of Bani Israel. And he establishes first his capital at what we know as Khalil, which is Hebron, Habrun. And then a little later, not long after that, he captured Ur Salim, Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis. And he established Jerusalem as the capital of the Khamamlakha Khame'u Khedet, which in Arabic, Al-Mamlakatul Muwahida. the United, I call it the United Islamic Kingdom of Bani Israel. Why? Because Nabiullah Dawood, he was a Muslim prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, Al-Anbiya'u ikhwatun li'allat. All of the prophets are brothers of one another, like from one father. Deenuhum wahid, their religion is one. Their religion is one. What religion is that? Al-Islam. Tawheed. Millatu Ibrahim Hanifa. وَأُمَّهَاتُهُمْ شَتَّى أَيْ شَرَائِعُهُمْ مُخْتَلِفَ. But their laws and their ways have differed. Starting with the law and the way given to Nabi Nuh, completed, culminated, and perfected with the law and the way given to who? To Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabiullah Dawood, the prophet of Allah, when he dies, Nabi Sulaiman, a prophet of Allah, and he is the one that does what? That renovates Masjid al-Aqsa. They can call it whatever they want, Temple of Solomon, whatever that al-Haykal. It is al-Masjid al-Aqsa, al-Masjid al-Aqsa, al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Only one Masjid al-Aqsa. They can call it whatever they want. Built by Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, renovated by Nabiullah Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. When Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, when he dies, then what happens? That united Islamic kingdom now splits into two. And Islam is out the window. Now both of these kingdoms, the northern kingdom, which was called the kingdom of Israel with Samaria as its capital, all 20 kings that ruled from 931 to 722 were idolaters. They were all idol worshippers. From Yerevan, all the way to Hoshea. All 20 of them worshipped idols. Not one of them were on Millati Ibrahim. Not one of them were Muslimin. In fact, what Yerevan said, he said, make for me two golden calves. He put one in Dan and one in Beit El. Because he wanted to keep his 10 tribes that were with him, the 10 tribes that were with him, he wanted to keep them from going to Jerusalem because that's where Masjid al-Aqsa was. And that's where everybody wanted to be. And so with this corruption, as Allah speaks, تُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. You'll cause corruption twice in the earth. So the first group of events was the corruption of the northern kingdom, as well as the corruption of the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judea. The first king being Rehoboam, and the last king being Zedekiah, who Buchtanasar Nebuchadnezzar poked out both of his eyes. And all of them were also idolaters. Can you believe it? Except for six. Except for six out of the 20 kings of Judea, they were also idolators. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. And you will reach the highest degree of haughtiness and arrogance, which is exactly what happened to them. Exactly what happened to them. And they were sent so many prophets. In fact, they call them prophets of doom. Prophets of Amos, Amos, Habakkuk, Hasqiyal, Ash'iya, Isaiah. Hasqiyal, Ezekiel. Ash'iya, Isaiah. Irmiya, Jeremiah. Elias, Elijah. Elyasa, Elisha. They were sent all these prophets of doom, warning them of impending doom. That Allah is going to destroy them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا. So when the time of promise came for the first of them. The promise of what? Of punishment. بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا. We sent to them servants of ours. Now this, even by some Muslim scholars, is misinterpreted. They say, oh, servants of ours, so this must have been a people that believed in Allah and believed in Tawheed. In actual fact, I found one Muslim scholar who even said that Buchtanasar Nebuchadnezzar, he must have been a Muwahid, which is the furthest thing from the truth. He only believed, in fact, he added Allah to his pantheon of gods just because Daniel got the prophecy or got the interpretation of the dream right. Not the prophecy. Just because Daniel got the interpretation of his dream correct, He said, okay, in that case, I will add your God to all my other gods. Does that sound like a person of Tawheed? So servants of ours literally mean here those whom we subjugated and used in our service of punishing other oppressors. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And so do we use some oppressors to destroy other oppressors because of what they brought upon themselves. So Allah used Sargon II of the Neo-Assyrians in 722 to destroy the northern kingdom and to take those 10 tribes into captivity. Some of the refugees ended up in Jerusalem. And then in 586, Nebuchadnezzar of the Neo-Babylonians came and he burnt Jerusalem and Masjid al-Aqsa to the ground. And he took the tribe of Yehuda and Benjamin, but they amalgamated along with the refugees. They amalgamated under the tribe of Yehuda. Remember, Jacob had 12 sons: Ribun, Simeon, Naphtali, Zebulun, Asher, Asakir, Dan, Jad, Yehuda, Lawi, Yusuf, Benjamin. So how did they go from being Bani Israel to being Jews? Anglicized from Yehuda, or from Judah, which is Latinized from the Hebrew Yehuda. Because the remnant of Bani Israel amalgamated under the flag of the tribe of Yehuda. That's how they became Jews. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. And so when the time of our promise for punishment came, of the first of them we sent against you servants of ours with great military might, and they went right even into your homes. So this is including the event of the destruction of the northern kingdom by Neo-Assyria in 722 and the destruction of the southern kingdom of Judea in 586 by the Neo-Babylonians. Because in both cases, the enemy went into their houses, captured them, and took them into captivity. وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. And it was a promise fulfilled. ثُمَّ رَدَدَنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then we gave back to you. Al-Karra, Ibn Kathir says, Ad-Dawla. Meaning, we gave back to you the kingdom over them. Who is them? Your enemies. You have to look at the pronouns here. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking directly to Bani Israel, and he's speaking about the enemies of Bani Israel. So when he says you, he's speaking to Bani Israel. When he says them, he's speaking about the enemies. So in verse number six of Surah Al-Isra, he says, then we returned to you the kingdom over them. And we aided you with wealth and children, and we made you even more numerous than your previous generations. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. Go read it. That's the exact prophecy that Nabi Musa made. You will be destroyed from the land, but when you repent to God, when you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will restore you to the land, and He will grant you wealth and make you prosperous and make you even more numerous than your previous generations, exactly as the Quran says. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. That's all, it's speaking about previous revelations. We conveyed to the children of Israel in previous revelations. And so this came to pass. After 70 years of being in exile, Cyrus the Great, the Persian Achaemenid king, defeated the Neo-Babylonian Empire and even restored Bani Yehuda back to Judea, back to the kingdom that they had had before, and even sponsored the rebuilding of Masjid al-Aqsa and Bayt al-Maqdis. First Zerubbabel, he was the first one to take the first group of refugees back to al-Ard al-Muqaddasa, back to the Holy Land. Then Uzair, Ezra, who was inspired with the rewriting of the Torah because it had been lost. And then Nehemiah, who rebuilt the walls of Bayt al-Maqdis. This is prophesied by Nabi Musa in Deuteronomy and confirmed in the Holy Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not 1948 established by
David Ben-Gurion, who said, even though I quote the Torah, I don't believe in the God that it postulates. Ish Hazar. What kind? So that's my translation for Ish Hazar. All the main founding fathers of Zionism were atheists. Vladimir Jabotinsky, David Ben-Gurion, even before them, Theodor Herzl, who said that the answer to the Jewish problem is that in Austria, is that all the Austrian Jews should convert en masse to Christianity. So this is not speaking about 1948. This is speaking about what? The return from Babylon. And then after, of course, the Persians fell to the Macedonian Empire, Alexander the Great. When Alexander died, then his generals took over and split up his kingdom. Ptolemy took Egypt, and Seleucid took Syria and Mesopotamia. And it was under the Seleucids that began the Hellenization of many of the Jews in the Holy Land. They started embracing Hellenistic culture to the degree that they also wanted to partake in wrestling, and the Greeks used to wrestle in the nude. So just because they didn't want to be noticed as Jews, they actually went for an operation for a foreskin to be re-sewn back onto their genitals. And it was during this time of the Hellenization of the Jews embracing Greek culture that rose Yehuda Hamakabe, Judah Maccabeus, the Maccabean Revolt, which was in 167 BCE, before the Common Era, culminating in the establishment of the Hashemite dynasty. Because when Netanyahu, the war criminal, when he quotes Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12, go look it up, about the gathering of Israel, he says it's taking place now, the gathering of Israel. The Jews coming from all over the world and taking over the whole of the promised land. Bring me any Zionist, Jewish, Christian, or otherwise, and I will prove to you from their own book that there isn't a prophecy in the Bible about the restoration or the gathering of Israel except that it's already happened. And when I say already happened, it already happened before the coming of Isa ibn Maryam. And there's not been one single prophecy after Isa ibn Maryam or even by Isa ibn Maryam. In fact, Isa predicted the destruction of Jerusalem and Beit al-Maqdis by the Romans. He said not one stone will remain of these buildings, referring to what was built on the what we call Masjid al-Aqsa, the building that they had there in which they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said not one stone will remain. And then in Matthew, in another prophecy, he said, this land will be taken away from you and given to a people who shall bear its fruit. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum. If you do well, you do well for yourselves. And if you do evil, it'll be on you. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ. And when the second promise of punishment comes to being, is fulfilled, لِيَسُوا وَجُهَكُمْ, to devastate your faces. This is now the destruction by the Romans in the year 70 by Titus, the son of Vespasian. And then again, the first they were kicked out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's name was changed to Alia Capitolina. And the Jews were forbidden from living in Jerusalem. They still lived in other parts of the area known at the time as Judea. But then in 134, Emperor Hadrian, after the Bar Kokhba revolt, Simeon Bar Kokhba, the Jewish zealot, in 132, rose up against the Roman Empire at the time of its peak. Hadrian then massacred them and expelled them from the inland in its entirety. And he changed the name of Judea to Syria Palestinia. And there was Palestina Prima, Palestina Secunda, and there was another one. And that's why it's called Palestine geographically today, because of the Romans. We don't have a qualm with that. Geographically, it is the land of Palestine. From a religious, from a spiritual, from an aqidah perspective, it is Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa, the Holy Land. Geographically, it's Palestine because of that event. So when the second fulfillment or the second promise is fulfilled, the promise of punishment, to devastate your faces, and they will enter the masjid. What masjid? Masjid Al-Aqsa. They will enter the masjid just like they entered it. Who's they? The enemies. Just like, in other words, just like the Neo-Babylonians entered it in 586, so the Romans entered it in the year 70. As they entered it in the first time, and to destroy what they had taken over was total destruction. They burnt it to the ground. Actually, very interesting, if you go on YouTube, there's actually quite a number of well-documented clips or clips that have been taken from well-documented historical sources about the Roman destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70. It was devastating. Devastating. Ah, عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it just might be that your Lord will have mercy upon you. This is now after the first destruction, after the second destruction, after Isa ibn Maryam. No more prophecies about the return or the gathering or restoration of Israel. None whatsoever. Show me the, bring me the Bible, show it to me. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوَاضِعِهِ. What do they do? They, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they twist the scripture, they take it out of context, they misquote it, they cherry pick it. That's what Zionism is all about. Christian Zionism, Jewish Zionism, whatever Zionism, it's all about cherry picking from the Bible. عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ. It might be that your Lord will show mercy. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed mercy to them. When? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send thee, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy to all the worlds. So that was the chance now to join the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to be part of the inheritors of the inheritance of our father Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِعِبْرَاهِيمَ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ. Indeed, those who have most right of Abraham are those who follow Abraham. وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ. And this prophet has more right over anybody than Abraham. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And those who believe with this prophet. أَشْهَدُ لَا إِلَّهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. We say that, خلاص. You are inheritor. You're an inheritor of the Holy Land, of Bayt al-Maqdis, of Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدَنَا. How many words is that? وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدَنَا. If we take the particles, وَوَ الْعَطْفُ, which is a conjunction, and in a shartiya, a conditional in, عُدْتُمْ عُدَنَا. It's four. Four words. Four words. And if you come back, then we will come back. If you come back to your haughtiness, to your arrogance, to your rejection of Allah's prophets, I mean, they even killed prophets of Allah. Imagine if they can kill prophets of Allah. Imagine what they can do to mankind. Other than Allah's prophets. If they can tell lies, يَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They speak lies against Allah. If they can speak lies about Allah, you don't think they can make propaganda and make up stories on television, on the internet? وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدَنَا. This is what we are now waiting for. They've come back. They came back without the permission of Allah. That's why Orthodox Rabbinical Judaism say that the establishment of the Zionist State of Israel in 1948 is a rebellion against God. That's what their own Orthodox Rabbinical Jews say. It's a rebellion against God. They came back to the land physically without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are in rebellion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now they are massacring and slaughtering and ethnically cleansing the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Hadith Qudsi, whoever makes an enemy of a friend of mine, if those people in Gaza are not the friends of Allah, then I ask you, بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, who are the friends of Allah? Whoever makes an enemy of a friend of mine, I declare the war upon them. Meaning a war from Allah. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدَنَا. If you come back to your haughtiness, to your rebellion, to your disobedience, to your massacring, to your killing, then I will come back. Just like I punished your forefathers with the rod. In fact, in the Bible, it's called the rod of God. The Neo-Assyrians and the Neo-Babylonians and the Romans. But you know who's the new rod? The new rod will be Jaish Muhammad. The new rod will be the army of the Muslimin. Allah is going to use this ummah to punish the iniquity of the wicked of Bani Israel as they have come back to their wickedness. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدَنَا وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا. And we will return. So if you return to your sin, we return to punishment. And we have made Jahannam for the disbelievers an abode. Jamaat al-Muslimin, let us not lose hope. Let us not become despondent. But let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not our new year. But we are living in a place where our holidays and school days and work and everything is governed by this calendar. And any excuse for us to just turn over a new leaf, let us just make our intention that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, because not just of what is happening in Gaza, what has been happening for the past 75 years and before that, all over the Muslim ummah, fi marhalat al-ghuthaiyah, we're in the stage of the foam. We need to get rid of the foam. We need to come back bi-idhnillahi ta'ala to that greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for this ummah. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best ummah raised up for mankind. How do we do that? Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. You enjoin the good. Wa tanhawna 'anil munkar. And you forbid the evil. Wa tu'minuna billah. And you have true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma tub 'alayna. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. تبنا إلى الله, تبنا إلى الله, تبنا إلى الله, ورجعنا إلى الله, وندمنا على ما فعلنا, وعزمنا عزما أكيدا على أننا لا نعصي الله. We repent to Allah and we return to Allah and we regret, Ya Allah, about all the wrong that we have done, and we make a sincere resolution, Ya Allah, not to disobey you. So accept us from us and forgive us our sins and grant us victory over our enemies. Ameen, 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 Ya Rabbal Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا